Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Welcome to a special Abiding in Christ. I am your guest host, Clayton Wood, and I am bringing to you stories from Ware's Valley Ranch. Ware's Valley Ranch, of course, is the ministry that my father, Jim Wood, and my mom, Susan Wood, founded in 1991. And as faithful listeners to the radio program, you're deeply aware of the wonderful Bible teaching that my father does. But some of you are less sure about what the ranch is. One of the misnomers that I hear most often is that people say, "I love that boys camp up there in Ware's Valley." And we are a boys camp, but we are much more than that. So the person who gives us an excellent boys camp to talk about also would want you to know that it is a boys and girls camp, but it is my pleasure today to welcome Seth Hauser to our radio broadcast. Welcome, Seth.
Hey, it's good to be here with you, brother.
Seth has been an employee of Ware's Valley Ranch for longer than I have, and so I'm going to talk some about just his story, his biography, how he came here. I think that Seth would say, I was listening to his dad reminiscing and saying that although he had some experience and background, Seth was kind of given a leadership role here at the ranch around our summer camp. Very entrepreneurial time, very tiny footprint of camp, and he was made the director without climbing a ladder or waiting or being an assistant director for 10 years or something like that. And he has truly made it into his own. He has built the camp into something that is beautiful, where young people encounter Jesus. We will be having different episodes and times that we talk about some of the benefits of camp, getting kids away from the digital addiction that plagues so many in modern life. But today we really want to hear the story about Seth Hauser, how he came to work at the ranch and things he's seen over his time here. It was a joy this morning to have his brilliant son, Caleb, in a Bible study that I was doing over at the UT campus. He is an aerospace engineering freshman. That is a much more challenging major than either of us had when we were in college.
<That's true. laughs>
But let's just start with how you, you and I knew each other in Atlanta. Dad was pastoring down in Mount Vernon. And what was it like for you when you first started working camp? It wasn't at Camp Arrowwood.
No, so, I mean, our friendship goes back multiple decades, and Glenn, you'd visit me a lot at our house, and it was never us sitting down playing video games, watching movies, or things like that. We were either sent to the basement by my dad to play sports, and that's if it was raining, and if it was nice outside, we were outside playing sports, and so we grew up playing anything and everything together, and if we were at the church, you'd probably find us in the gym playing basketball. So yeah, as far as, my beginning and starting here at camp, you know, my first summer camp experience, I went to a camp in North Georgia and my parents sent me, and I was your classic, homesick camper. Like, I remember I wet the bed and then my suitcase smelled like urine for the rest of the week. And the one thing I knew about the camp that I was going to was that I was going to have to do horses. And so I was afraid of going up there because I knew I didn't like riding horses. I knew I'm going to have to ride a horse at some point this week. And so as a child, I think I was like 8 or 9, all I'm thinking about is at some point I'm going to have to do something that I'm really, really scared of. And that kind of like mired my whole week at camp. So I was afraid of horses. I wet the bed, and then there's one activity, and this is not an activity that you would do anymore at camp, but it was called a counselor hunt. So all the staff would go and hide, okay? And then the campers were sent out to go and find the counselors, and I don't think the supervision would be all right with today's activities. But so that was one activity I remember, counselor hunt. I remember walking by myself in the woods at this camp in North Georgia in Conyers, and there was no one around me. I didn't know what I was doing. And for some reason, I started singing like a praise song to the Lord. I have no idea why, but so even given my fears of, man, peeing the bed, I was hot, I had to ride horses, that still was like a special moment in my life where I remember like the Lord clearly speaking to me and me worshiping the Lord all by myself in nature. And so did I go back to that camp? No, I didn't. But it did leave like a special place in my heart of summer camp is a special place to connect with the Lord. So that was kind of my exposure to summer camps. And then it wasn't until I was 18 till I went and worked at my first camp. And that was also in North Georgia. And basically a camp director called and left a message on my dad's answering machine saying, hey, we'd love for Seth to come up and work this summer. And so my dad said, hey, I think this would be a good idea for you. And so I went up there, and that was about 28 summers ago, and I've been doing summer camp ever since then.
That's awesome. And we can think back, and there's some really special people involved because really, I'll just say primarily because of my friendship with you is why I end up working at that camp, because I had gone there as a camper, but I wasn't really wanting to come back as a counselor. And then you're like, hey, man, we need you to come as a counselor. Yeah. But the people there were really special. Rick Johnson, who's still around and who has really been a huge impact on a lot of people in Christian camping. There were some really great leaders there. And that certainly was an option, a possibility for you to continue to stay at that camp. Beautiful camp, really well funded camp that's connected with Chick-fil-A in several ways, and great place, Camp Windshape up in North Georgia. Yeah. But we had a camp that was up here in Ware's Valley. And tell us what it was like when you came up to see this camp. It was not well-funded. It was not helped by Chick-fil-A. What did you see when you came up here?
Yeah, I'm grateful to Truett Cathy and his vision of the Windshape program, which builds Christian leaders, and then also Camp Windshape, and Rick Johnson and Speedy Trejo, and so many who invested in me to point me towards the kingdom. And it was when I was a counselor, I think my second year of camp, a guy named Russ Surratt, who still is at Windshape, came and said, hey, like, you have a gift in this. You should think about doing this for the rest of your life. So that kind of planted the seed of me potentially, you know, making a career in summer camps. And so when I got up here, some people have these great stories of visiting the ranch and these dramatic stories of the Lord clearly directing them here. I knew your dad through our relationship. I mean, he was my pastor, and from visiting you, and I love your dad. And so I remember y'all had a camp up here. I think it was losing a little bit of money, and it was just in its infant stages. And your dad called me when I was at Berry College and asked me about working, coming up here for the summer. And I think I said, I'll think about it. I think he called me again, and I remember I had mono, and I was sick. And I just kind of said, sure, yeah, I'll come. And so it's wild to think about how sometimes just small decisions you make can impact like the rest of your life. And so for people that are like agonizing over decisions, man, it seemed like a good godly place to go. I'll say yes. And, you know, had I known at that moment, hey, this is going to be the next 25 years of your life, I don't know if I would have said yes. I would have said, I need to think about it a whole lot more. But anyway, I came up here, and I think Camp Air was running maybe like 2 or 3 weeks of camp. And your dad said basically there were two things he really wanted to make sure. Maybe I'll say three. One was no mud pits where kids can get E. coli in the cow pasture. I got that one. And then... the main thing was, hey, you know, I want to point kids to Jesus. And the third thing was, hey, you got to make at least a dollar. You got to make a dollar, because when people give to Where's Valley Ranch Children's Home, as wonderful as the ministry is of Camp Arrowwood, like, they're not giving to the children's home to subsidize camp kids from big cities to come to a summer camp. And so make a dollar, don't have a mud pit, and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that was it. So we pretty much had a blank slate. And so I was 23, and so it's kind of like, man, I'm in charge. Let's see what we can do. And I'll tell you one thing, like, you and I both have older children now. And at the time when we both worked summer camp, we didn't have children. So our ideas of safety were much different than now with kids. But no, it's basically a blank slate to do whatever we wanted. And it was like, hey, we have 115 acres. We have the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. Let's see what God does. And it's been, God's been very kind over the years to keep us safe amongst my,
increasing safety standards.
Increasing safety standards, yes, for sure. But then, yeah, also just the ministry that God's done here through the staff and through saving kids has been just incredible over the years.
So there is a component to what you do that is, Seth Hauser is the camp director of Camp Arrowwood. As Camp Arrowwood's grown, that's been a big deal. For those who are listening who are, you know, in California and don't know anything about our camp, it is a huge blessing that we have it. It is constrained by our physical size of how many cabins we have. And before I became the executive director as a board member, but since I've become the executive director of the ranch, a very regular question that I get asked is, how much could I pay you personally to get my kid into camp? And my answer has always been what it is today, and that is that my wife signs our kids up on the same morning as everyone else. No one's spot is being held. But camp has been, I mean, how many years has it been that camp within the first day has sold out a lot of sessions?
I think there was a tipping point maybe about 10 years ago or so. And yeah, I mean, there's a high demand for summer camp, and that's just not for our camp, but also, I mean, nationwide. Like, parents know that their kids are anxious, their kids are indoors, their kids are on technology. Their kids need to learn how to be independent, how to be resilient, how to make friends, how to problem solve, how to grow in the Lord away from them, how to own their faith. And so, our camp is smaller. Like, we have 75 kids a week, and then you go on a wait list. And so, yeah, for about 10 years, I would say when we open up registration, it fills up really, really quick. And I sure wish we could help more families, but we're the size that the Lord wants us right now.
And that's definitely something we're praying about. If you are listening and saying, I'd love to help more kids go to camp, and I want to make a major gift for that, that's great. WVR.org, get on there and help us. But it has been really sweet to see the response of the kids. It's also been really sweet to see the shepherding that Seth does to the staff. He is very intentional about his staff recruitment, his staff training. Most of the staff every year, when I ask them to raise their hands if they went to camp, are former campers. But there are so many young people who tell me that their lives were shaped, not just the ones who met their spouse working camp, but which we do have a bunch of those, but right. So many others who say that their life was shaped by the time that they spent working at camp. Can you share some of what that has been like for you, especially as you now think about having your own kids at an age where they can work camp?
Yeah, that's, I think my focus has almost shifted over the years from the camper to being camper focused for me to be staff focused, because our staff are the ones who are delivering the programs. And that's probably one of my favorite things to do, is just to keep up with our staff. I was listening, there's a podcast between two of my camp staff. One's a doctor, one is the head of an HR company right now. And they were talking about going to graduate school and going to medical school. And they said everyone around them was like panicking because they had to public speak and they had to work with groups. And the doctor said, they're like, it was really easy for us. It's like, we've gotten up in front of 80 kids before and sung stupid songs. Like, we've got this. And And they were talking about how in medical school, everyone was stressed about working in groups. And they were like, man, like, this is easy for us. Like, we learned this at camp. And so, yeah, anyone who works camp, I make it very clear to them that, like, my goal is to not to make you professional, like, camp worker. Like, so if you look at most of our alumni, I want to make you a better doctor, a better teacher, a better husband, a better wife, aerospace engineer, like you name it. Our alumni, there's very few of our alumni who are in ministry. They're mostly in the professional world, but they'll all tell you that one of the most foundational parts of their life was working camp, where they learned how to work under stress. They learned how to work at midnight when a kid gets sick in the cabin. They learn how to take control of a situation when it's raining and all your plans are ruined. They learn how to stand up and speak in front of a group. And they learned a lot of just, man, how to persevere and mainly how to lean on the Lord, because it's not like, oh, I'm going to go volunteer an hour, then I'm going to go home and just do my own thing. Like, you are fully immersed in the camp world and you can't get away from that. And so you get tired. And for a lot of our staff, it's the first time they think, man, I really need to lean on the Lord. Like, if God's strength is made perfect in my weakness, I'm feeling really weak right now for the first time in my life. And so it's just a great foundational place. We say a lot of times we can teach you everything that a robot can't do if you work at summer camp. And so, yeah, it's been a privilege to see all the staff over the years grow in the Lord.
And we've had a lot of kids come to know Jesus, come to faith in Christ through their time at camp. This is not a devotional time that is about, you know, say yes, sir, when you go home and make your bed so that your parents like us more. It is every single year a time when kids who don't know Jesus are presented with the gospel in a way that they can apprehend. And I'll never forget a guy calling me on the phone, and he said, did you teach chapel at the summer camp there? And I said, yeah. He said, well, my son told me that you said most people are going to hell. And I said, there's no way he said that. And I said, well, it was an entire lesson, actually. But yes, I did say that. He goes, why would you say that? I said, well, because I was actually quoting scripture. And so we want the kids to know that Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sins and that they can have eternal life through him. And it's been a huge blessing to see kids who don't have a lot of exposure to the gospel know that this is a safe place, that this is a nurturing place, that this is a kind place, but come to know the most important good news that they could ever know. Can you share some about that, about what you see within the context of the devotionals?
Yeah. I was at a small group at church last night, and one of the dads was sharing that his son who came to camp, and my son was actually his counselor, who we've been praying for about a year for a son to come to know the Lord. And he said that his son became a Christian a couple weeks ago. And so we're just kind of talking about that. And he said that mainly for his son, the main thing was, he said he was at summer camp and he realized that all the staff had something that he didn't have, and that was a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And so he just kind of went home processing those things, and his dad was doing family devotions. And so now he is a follower of Christ, and his future is forever changed. And so,
praise God.
For kids at camp, we are not like a high pressure, let's get all the kids whipped up at the campfire and, hey, we had 100 kids this week and 100 all became Christians, and they all became Christians the next year too. We want to show who our Heavenly Father is. We want them to know that God made them. He loves them. And as awesome as God is and as fun as these kids are, they have a sin problem. And so we like to lay out the gospel. And so kids respond to that sometimes at camp, sometimes 5 years later, 10 years later. But we want them to know in a non-pressurized, way that Jesus is a Messiah and that true life only comes from knowing him.
That's awesome. Okay, talk a little bit, and I'm not just telling you this so you'll get bonus points later. Your wife, Amy, listens to the radio shows because she helps and edits the radio shows, but she's been a tremendous blessing to the ranch, a tremendous asset to the ranch over the time that you've been here. has helped and worked at the ranch on various things, has done a great job raising your three kids. So just brag a little bit on your family and on what it's been like for them to be here at the ranch. I remember you bringing little Hannah home to Kirkland Hollow back in the day. Yeah, yeah. What has that been like for you guys?
Growing up at the ranch has been wonderful. I mean, anyone who's been to East Tennessee knows it's one of the most beautiful places. There's a reason that 12 or 15 million people come out here every year. But no, my wife is definitely like the secret weapon of our family. There's so many people that like, hey, Seth, you're great. We really want to hire Amy for a job. So yeah, what a lot of your radio listeners don't know is that for the past 20 years, she, along with Becky Williamson, have been editing all the radio shows that you hear. And so, yeah, she's great at that. She's been wonderful at raising our kids. When it comes to, I'm the summer camp director. And so I'm, Truett Cathy used to say, C-plus students are the ones that kind of like run the world. And so I'm your C-plus student. My wife is your A student. So she's been very instrumental and has carried the burden of educating our kids. And she says, you can listen to your father about a lot of things, but don't listen to him about schoolwork. no, she's wonderful. And yeah.
That's awesome. And we're going to wrap up by talking a bit about your secondary role, which is a huge use of your time, but you lead recreation at the ranch. You're in charge of that time. Talk about what that means in the lives of the students, but also talk about this transition you've made, I'd say mostly in the last 5 years, to being able to equip other people to lead recreation just as you equip people to run a lot of camp.
Yeah, so our Arrowwood team works. We do summer camp. We do a homeschool academy. We do father-son camp, winter camp, lots of different programs. But one of the things we do on campus with the students of the ranch is we run recreation every day. And so your dad, when he kind of laid out his vision for the ranch, he put a big emphasis on being outside in God's creation, because most of the students who live here have never experienced play, never experienced being outside. And so our team runs recreation for 90 minutes each day. And so most of us grew up with 15 minutes of recess at a rusty playground. And so these kids get 90 minutes of rec every single day. And for a lot of our kids, their experience with PE or rec at public school or private school, wherever they went, was just kind of like, oh, this is just another thing I go to, and I'm way behind, and I'm terrible. And so we kind of have like a games-based summer camp kind of approach to rec. Like, we want it to be fun. We want the kids to know that, hey, we don't really care like who wins and who loses. Your identity is not in if you score a basket or not. Like, your identity is in Christ. And that's the most important thing about you. And so if you come to our rec field on any given day, you'll see kids from 7 to 18 playing together. And for our kids that are 18, 17, 18, they know that giving their best for that day may not be scoring 15 goals on an 8-year-old. It may be passing and learning some other lessons about life. And so, yeah, rec's a big part of the ranch. And it's a lot of our students' favorite part of their day, where they learn that, yeah, the most important thing about me is not what shoes I wear and whether or not I can hit a baseball far, but it's, man, these people love me regardless of how I perform on the field. And so we see on the rec field a lot of kids overcome a lot of fear. Like, they're afraid of trying anything. And so we make things that are, we'll choose activities that are very easy for them to have success in. So maybe we're hitting a baseball with a tennis racket. Man, hey, I can do this. This is kind of fun. I like being outside. I like being encouraged by my friends. So that's a big part of what we do is the rec program here. It's been thrilling to see kids grow.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for sharing your story. If you guys want to see more about camp, you can go to an incredible website. Seth got thebestcamp.com many years ago. And you can learn more about Camp Arrowwood. And if you're interested in bringing your family to a family camp type activity, a father-son activity, we are doing those. We plan to do more of those as we move forward. Thank you so much for being with me today, Seth.
Awesome. Thanks.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.